Repeat after me to attain your goals. Happiness, a college education, a good job, a healthy family, respect for your neighbors, retirement, happiness. Repeat after me to attain your goals. Happiness.
Ignorance.
A college education.
Mental programming.
A good job.
Slavery.
A healthy family.
Corporate control.
Respect for your neighbors.
Governmental abuses.
Retirement.
Obey.
Happiness.
You are now listening to the world famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am. Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am. Sofa King.
Faster.
I am.
Sofa King. No, not so fast.
So.
Loses meaning.
I am. Sofa King.
With retard. You say funny things.
I have to say that was a weak-ass clink.
There was no whiskey power behind this wine.
Yeah.
It was iced tea.
Oh.
That's what I did. I tricked you. I tried to trick you.
Did you put iced tea in the whiskey glass?
He did. He tried to show me like he was drinking whiskey.
Yeah.
You want to explain why you're not drinking whiskey?
He's on an anal fast.
I'm on an anal fast, yeah. No, I'm trying to do a water fast, and I'm on day like 4.5, so excuse me if I'm super spaced out more than normal today.
4.5, it'd just be day 5. You're just not through it yet,
right? No, it's because I quit eating like halfway through Wednesday. I finally got the balls. I was like, okay, fuck it, I'm not eating dinner tonight. See if I can make it through. So like 3 p.m. Wednesday is the last time I ate.
So you're on day 4 going to day 5
then. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't try and make it seem longer.
I can't do math right now, sir.
That's what I'm saying. I think for the next two episodes, you just need to agree with everything we say.
Yeah. All right.
Because you're not in your right mind.
Dicks are delicious. I'll just do that one in advance.
We just talked about this.
It's fine. And I told you I wasn't bowing down. That person's not listening anyway.
Yeah. Oh,
and maybe
man.
They are delicious. They might be cinnamon flavored and sugary, yeah. For all I know.
They might be like a unicorn frappuccino.
I heard those don't taste good, though.
Yeah. I said that little kid said it tastes like shit or like dog shit.
So I was super famous, half-ass famous all week. Several things happened. 6 years ago, I punched a guy as an extra in a movie, and that came out. And there was a premiere at our local Fox Theater. And
eight people saw it.
No, it was a big turnout. And I would not be fucking surprised if like Netflix buys that movie. It was good. I laughed until I cried. And like, I know the main actor. It's like one of my best friends, Brian Ross. He's been on this show.
Yeah.
And I thought I was going to see through the acting. No, he did great. It was fucking, it was really funny. Yeah. And I get there, I watch the movie, and then at the end, they're like, hey, we're going to have a Q&A. So if you were in the movie, come to the stage. And I was like, I punched a guy. Like, I'm not going up there. I just sit back. Like, those fools worked on that movie for a year. You know, I was there for an afternoon and 30 minutes of that. I showed up, punched a guy twice, signed a release, and walked away. Like, literally, they said, wear a black shirt, look mean.
It's like a typical day for Brad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, what's so special about this? Yeah.
But they're like, hey, Brent, you should be on stage. And I was like, oh, okay. So I walk up there. And I stand on stage, and there's like 20 people from cast and crew standing on stage waiting for the audience Q&A, and they hand me the microphone first. I was like, what the fuck is happening?
You do a podcast, so you should be comfortable talking to people.
I don't think that was a factor. I just wasn't ready for it. Like, spotlight, bam. Hey, so tell us about your experience filming the movie. And I was like, oh, fuck. And then there's like reporters.
I don't remember. It was
click, photograph. I literally, that was my answer. I was like, I don't really remember. It was 6 years ago. I showed up in a black shirt, punched a guy, signed a waiver, and left. That was pretty much, I talked a little bit more, but that was it. And they handed it on down. But I mean, the news was there. There's news cameras. It was crazy. Two guys knocked on my door and brought whiskey to my home.
Yeah, which I thought was
so fucking,
I thought that was
sketchy.
Creepy.
Yeah, that
that's
was sketchy as shit.
I heard knock knock and I was like, what the fuck? Fucking solar salesman or some shit. I show up to the door all fucking mad dog, open the door all mean, and they're like, whoa. And I was just like, oh, sorry, I'm an asshole. Fuck. I saw whiskey in their hand. I knew what was up right away. But then I was like, damn, people are at my door. Like, for the podcast, shit got weird. And then I walked out there and talked. They're super fucking cool. And they're my neighbors though. So I waved to them, but I just didn't really totally recognize that that's what was going on. So at first it was like, what the fuck? People showing up to my house because of the podcast, bringing whiskey. That's weird. But then it turned out that they're cool as fuck.
Better yours than mine, because they'd have been dead.
And then the last thing that happened yesterday, I walked out of the shop to close the shop for the day. And as I was walking to my car, a guy with a camera was standing there like paparazzi status and was all, hey man, can I take your picture real quick? And I was like,
the fuck?
Okay. I was like, what's up? What's it for? He's like,
this is okay before he, before he asked what it's for.
I was like, he's just doing downtown photography, whatever. You know, like, I don't know. I don't like taking pictures, honestly. But he was all, because you have a badass podcast. That's why. He's like, can you go ahead and look at the camera? And I was like, what the fuck? It's been 3 days of crazy. Yeah.
You got paparazzi.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was me and Dave are hermits. You can't find us.
Pretty much.
Well, yeah, my location is known.
So,
yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So it's been kind of crazy. On that note, we had a hot sauce, hot sack contest this week, and there was every submission was good, really. And it was hard picking.
They were pretty legit.
A couple people had already won, so obviously we had to knock that out and be fair.
Yeah, and there was one. Yeah, and Tyler Mott, we can't decide if you've won the hot sack before.
So
we know you've won something else.
So I'm sending Tyler something. He's going to get runner up. I'm going to send him something. So I'll hit him up.
Might be our mistake because his is really good.
But he deserves a prize anyway, just for being Tyler Mott. He fucking makes all his pictures and stuff. So Mike Milionis posted a picture of him with ISIS in the background and El Yucateco bottles.
They're holding him hostage.
Yeah, and we all agree that that was pretty funny. So, Mike, I will be contacting you on social media. If you contact me first, give me your address, and I will send you a big, fat, hot sack.
Yep.
And you can rub it all over your face. Yep. Do whatever you want with it, but I'm sending it to you. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's
trying to stuff it in.
Actually,
your anus.
I forgot. It's not even a hot sack. It's a hot box. It's a big ass box.
That's true. Better.
Yeah, you're getting the. He's actually getting the hot box. He's getting the barbecue, like the sought after El Yucateco barbecue.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. We don't even have one.
No, so we don't.
We're giving them.
There
away.
Is one more.
We
now,
are so kind.
Yeah, so we could really hype
them
it up
away.
After he brags about that barbecue, there is one more to be had. They did send us another one. So
yes,
that's the Techo winner of the week.
It might have ashes in it from being used, but it's still good.
Right, that's all right. It's all good.
No, still got the plastic on it.
Yeah. Right, so now.
I've made a realization over the last few days that our cell phones truly reflect our personalities in ways that I don't think we realize.
What happened?
I never get new phones. Like I've had a, like
yeah, you've had a horrible shitty
for like
phone
three and a half years. Like I just don't give a shit. And I was going to buy one because like a big new phone was coming out.
Dave always has the Galaxy one star review.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's his model.
He has the one that you can't find anymore. Like the Nokia brick phones.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
That's Dave's phone.
So I was going to buy an S7 because the S8 was just coming out, the Galaxy S8. And I knew the S7 would be cheaper, but anyway, I was I'll get the
yeah,
that's right.
Ross.
So I got the S8 like brand new, like the day it came out, etc. But what I've realized over the past 3 days is that it's not trained and it bugs the fucking shit out of me constantly because my old phone was just on lockdown. Like it doesn't do anything that bothers me because I deleted all that shit.
Yeah.
And like, as soon as I get a new phone, it's like constantly just little things. It's like someone will say, oh, now I can see that you saw my text. I was like, nope, disable that fucking feature. Like, oh, well now I can do the nope, disable that feature. And then I'll just be sitting there and it'll just make a noise. And I'm like, why are you fucking making a noise? Cell phone, why are you making a noise? And then I look and some app fucking shit at me. And it's like,
Texting status for the most part, but like Facebook Messenger does that, and so then I'm like, damn it, I opened it.
Yeah.
Like, I saw that shit. I gotta deal with
this
right now.
Yeah.
So I'm realizing that it's taking several days, it'll probably take several weeks for my cell phone to be as antisocial as I am.
Yeah.
Because right now it keeps thinking I want all, it's like, you know, and then I open a new app and it's like, hey, you want me to connect you all your Facebook friends? I'm like, fuck no, I don't. Leave me alone. Yeah. Like, don't connect to anything or anyone.
I know. And every time he opens up the browser and starts typing D, he's expecting dicks to just automatically.
Yeah. And
pop
it doesn't do that anymore.
And it doesn't. Now he has to type the full word.
I know.
It's angry. Angry.
Started this one off strong.
Yeah.
Yep. So my, it's taking a while, but soon my cell phone will be as antisocial as I am.
Well, I hope the battery doesn't blow up. I hope there's not a fucking global recall on that one. I hope they did better this time.
If the batteries do blow up on this one, I at least hope mine blows up.
I think I'm like falling behind in technology. Like I used to do websites and program and like do all kinds of shit. And now I'm like, I don't want to do anything.
Right.
Like if it goes beyond like anything on the front of the computer, like right there on the desktop, I don't want to go into it. Like I don't want to go looking for a file. Same thing in my phone. Like I don't change the ringtone hardly anymore. He's been trying to talk us into using GeoCities for our website for a while.
Angel Fire.
Like I spend so much time working on the podcast now and don't like James takes care of the shop that I was like working on shit on Saturday. I was like, what the fuck? Do we have this? I don't even know how to do this. I'm going to have to figure out. I'm going to Google
like,
this.
Like while fixing computers.
Yeah, I was trying to fix a computer and I was like, I don't even know where that's at anymore. Is this some new version of Windows 10? This looks completely different. Like,
what is this?
Windows 10's had like 3 updates. It keeps fucking me up. I barely am keeping up as it is.
Yeah. Technology's got me. I barely record. Like we can barely do this show. I'm so behind, but you know, it is what it is.
So speaking of cell phones, the Black Dahlia is our topic.
That's exactly what I thought you were going to go into. Didn't trick me at all.
The Black Dahlia has been requested for quite a while. I know that it's a topic that's been on the unofficial Facebook page. People have requested it for a while. When you talk about true crime, it's just a matter of time before you get into the Black Dahlia. And I had a really hard time because here in Bakersfield, there's a neighborhood called Oildale.
Mm-hmm. Area of town. I wouldn't call it a neighborhood.
Called Oildale, and it's stereotypically known for being white and racist.
I mean, I'm from Oildale. You better tread lightly, man.
And you're typically known for being white and racist.
Yeah, that's right. So it all lines up. But anyway, I just kept seeing the Black Dahlia, and I just kept thinking the Black Dahlian.
Oh, yeah.
That exists now.
That's what we call them. Yeah. There are Black Dahlians now.
You call people Dahlians. But anyway, if you're a local, I just saw nothing but Black Dahlian the entire time I was researching.
Yeah. So and just to tell you what a Dahlian is, it's somebody who's like, if you see a white person at Walmart's dirty, got like their, you know, sweatpants hanging off their ass, you know, and like fucking dirty ass flip-flops and toenails.
Trash.
Yeah. Just white trashy. That's a Dahlian. So,
if you want to know like the true, like my image though, is a grown ass man on a BMX bike.
Yeah.
With like a shirt hanging out of his back
with
pocket.
His, with his,
he's not wearing it. And he has a comb in the other pocket or some shit. Yeah.
And he's holding either a beer or something you shouldn't be holding while you're pedaling it, like a vacuum cleaner.
Or they're on an improvised method of transportation.
Yeah.
It's clearly made because they know how to weld. They had 2 different bike tires and a weed eater mower.
Yeah.
Motor.
And it became an invention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or they're on a bike pulling some sort of trailer without not a baby in it. It has other shit in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. If your neighbor works on a swamp cooler at 2 a.m., you might be a Dahlian.
Yeah. So anyway, our topic today is the Black Dahlian. For those of you who don't know anything at all, the Black Dahlia is a big murder mystery from Los Angeles. It happened in the 1940s. Woman got killed pretty brutally. Like, we'll go into all the details. Really gruesome, really gnarly murder. And it blew up in the press, the newspapers, the radio, everything ran with it. And it's basically the most famous unsolved murder mystery in Los Angeles. I know they made a movie. I know Scarlett Johansson was in it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like there was one because there was a book called The Black Dahlia that a researcher wrote. And I guess the movie with Scarlett Johansson was based on that book or something.
The same guy that wrote L.A. Confidential. I watched a little bit on it. Yeah.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, big murder mystery from the 1940s that's still – you know, when you think about, you know, it's sort of the stereotypical, you know, girl from another town moves to LA to try to make it big as an actress. And then something fucking horrible happens
to her. What's crazy. Like, it's still unsolved. And 38 people confessed to the crime.
Yeah.
I read as high as 50 people confessed.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I was like, what? I was like, who are these people?
Right.
And why are they confessing
their life
the murder?
Just sucks. And it was going to be like, they'll get credit. They'll be like infamous.
Right.
And at that time there was, I don't know. They're just, I guess it's harder to be an individual. You're not going to get like Facebook or Instagram. You don't have a chance for a normal person to get discovered on YouTube or something. Like,
I mean, it might've also like mark. if it, if that many people confessed, I mean, we might be able to just rule half of them out as fucking 1940s police brutality.
Right.
Like, you beat the shit out of this guy until he finally said, fuck it. Yeah, I'm
yeah, maybe.
Like that. There might have been a whole lot of that.
Showed up trying to claim the crime.
Yeah, they were calling in and stuff. Like, even in the 80s and stuff, like when they were looking, you know, kind of looking into it, because there's still an investigator today that looks at the case. Like, if somebody if you called in and were like, hey, I killed, you know, Elizabeth Shore, they're gonna have to look at you.
Right.
Like, it's crazy.
Let's do it. Yeah. I'm not even old enough.
Yeah, so it wasn't that's true.
Well, they don't know about the time travel machine.
That's true. We have to keep that under wraps.
And then Forrest Whitaker, we have to put Forrest Whitaker out there.
The whole thing, yeah.
And yeah, then he's gonna get looked at.
If they did long really enough, pissed. I might get in trouble. Yeah. I'll just not do it.
Yeah.
So the woman's name was Elizabeth Short, and everyone started calling her the Black Dahlia. And it took me a while to read why, but apparently there was a movie called The Blue Dahlia that had just come out and it was very popular. And then they started calling this the Black Dahlia. But then I read one article that was hating dresses. On that and said that that wasn't true. But
I read that she always was known to wear dark dresses black. Or something.
Yeah, she had her hair dyed black.
Mm-hmm.
Her hair was black. Her eyes were blue. She wore black dresses, black high heel shoes.
Black shoes, black hat, Cadillac.
Yeah.
Girl's a time bomb, really.
She had black pubic hair.
Nothing?
She probably had brown pubic hair.
Black. No. It looked black in the photo.
I say that because I read a police report.
Oh, there you go. Hmm. Dang. There were pictures, but they were black and white.
They were black.
They were rough.
Yeah,
pictures.
When they showed the smile, I looked away. I was like, I'm not looking.
I was like, that's Joker from Batman. That's where they got it from.
That's all I thought about.
Yeah,
was
the
Joker.
Crime scene photos. And I wasn't even planning to ever look at them. I just ran into one article, and I'm scrolling down. And it's just kabonk. There's all the crime. I was like, oof.
Yeah, that's the first thing I looked at. If you just put Black Dahlia in images, that's what rough. It is. It's pretty. I was trying to like look at them. I was thinking too before I looked up the Black Dahlia, like how she got her name. I thought they had I don't know if you noticed, but there was like flower petals on her. Like there was one on one of her nipples. Like
I
there
saw
was kind of like
was
there
was on, a couple. Like, I don't know if they cut her breast open or if that was something on her.
Yeah, and then there was it looked like flower petals though. And then I looked up what a Black Dahlia was, and it was a flower. And I was like, oh, that kind of looks like Dahlia flowers. I was like, oh, maybe.
No, maybe that's why.
Maybe that's why she got it. But I read
her
either.
Her body was posed on the grass it was found on. So, I mean, anything would have been possible. So
what's jacked up though is a mom walking her baby in a carriage found her. Like that's
rough.
The, yeah.
Yeah.
Just so right off the sidewalk.
Elizabeth Short, just to give you some background on her, again, like the prototypical girl who moves to Los Angeles. She was born in a small suburb of Boston on July 29th, 1924. She was the third of five daughters to Cleo and Phoebe Short. And did you guys see the weird stuff? Apparently her father built miniature golf courses.
And then he faked a suicide.
Yeah, until the stock market crashed.
Yeah, stock market crashed. Yeah, that was the big crash.
Right.
And and he pretty much parked his car on a bridge mm-hmm. next to the water, and they thought he killed himself.
Yeah, they thought he killed himself because he was poor.
That was probably happening, though, all over the place, people losing their ashes.
Sure, and killing themselves.
And killing themselves. They're like, oh, here's another one.
Elizabeth was five at the time, and he just pieces out. Everyone assumes he's dead, but then – and so the mom is, like, struggling. I mean, this is – 1930, like I'm sure things were not easy for a single mom in 1930. So she moves into, you know, goes to work as a bookkeeper, like does everything to keep everything going. And then apparently later on, she gets a letter of apology from Cleo, who says that he's alive and well and living in California.
Like, it's okay. Sorry I left you so long ago, but
sorry I left you and the five kids.
I'm doing okay.
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah. Everything's fine out here.
Well, what's crazy too, it said that's where Elizabeth learned how to kind of use her skills and street smarts to be able to feed herself, you know, because they would have to do all sorts of things to be able to get food and water. And, you know, the mom just was barely able to provide somewhere to live, you know, so they had to.
Yeah, she was cute. So
she used her, you know, her charm and whatnot. And so she did the same thing when she moved to L.A. Like that, apparently, that was the big
thing.
They
said that was a popular thing for girls that moved to LA to try to become actresses would
go to bars,
just be a tease. And that's how they got dinner. And that's how they ate.
Basically a new date every night.
Yeah.
They would take him out on a date. They would feed him food, you know, pay for it.
There was allegations that she might've been a prostitute.
People are mad about that. You know, saying that she wasn't
of her with multiple men. But they said that's kind of like written off, and that's the style back then. That's how you ate dinner.
Yeah.
Was flirt with a sailor, flirt with some guy, and then he'd buy you dinner, and then just be like, "Oh, well, maybe tomorrow we can hang out again, and then find a new new bar."
But the other thing is too, like, and that's probably true because nowadays though, it's like, well, if you're gonna kick it on, you know, you're gonna stay at somebody's house or something, you're probably sleeping with them.
That's why I haven't eaten in 5 days. Is because I flirt can't find like a date. Motherfucker. Yeah.
Nobody's buying it.
Yeah, nobody's buying that nobody's shit. Buying
it. Yeah, you got the hook out there, but nobody's taking the bait
over there.
So at a young age, Elizabeth ends up, I guess she develops asthma and bronchitis, at which point she said, quote, "Ain't nobody got time for that." And she moved to Florida for the summers.
Asthma.
So it becomes like the Florida connection becomes a little bit important later. But so she starts spending her time, you know, through her late childhood. She spends the winters in Florida and the summers back in Boston.
She travels like a motherfucker.
She travels all over the fucking place. Too. Like, it's crazy.
Dude, on the bus. Yeah. She went from Massachusetts back to California, all over the place on the fucking bus.
So eventually she ends up like connecting with her father out in Vallejo in California, where he's working.
That's where she met E-40 too. They were hanging out. They had some pictures together.
Is that true?
Yeah.
So she ends up moving with her father. They move from Vallejo to LA. And then at that point, she just starts fucking bouncing all over the place. She moves to Santa Barbara, and I was wondering, because when you look at pictures of her, when you look for a picture of her when she was alive, you pretty much always see two. There's one that's just some random picture of her. And then there's one and it's like, is that a mugshot?
Yeah.
And it is a mugshot. And it's because she got arrested for drunken disorderly conduct when she lived in Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
She was not even drunk. It wasn't that she was drinking. She was in a bar underage. She was in a bar trying to pick up sailors to get dinner.
Okay. And then they put her in jail.
She was just underage.
Okay.
Which is how they actually ended up identifying the body, because she had a record.
Right.
Back in the day.
Well, actually, they identified the body because she worked at a military base.
Well, they sent fingerprints off. Mm-hmm. The thing I saw said that they sent her fingerprints off of her half of her body that they drug over to the fingerprint thing.
Things are already starting to get one star over here.
Because I had read that
New York or something to get the prints matched, and it came up in their database, which I would imagine is fucking file folders and a guy in a magnifying glass.
Because I went to the FBI website, because I usually try to go there whenever there's like a big crime that we look at.
They tell the truth.
And they said that on their website, they were like, we don't have a whole lot of information on this case because it wasn't a federal case.
Did you look at Sandy Hook when you were there just to check, see if it didn't happen?
No, I didn't.
Oh, should have.
It's not on there.
But
there's a public apology.
They said that 56 minutes after, it took them less than an hour to identify who she was, which at the time was probably pretty fucking impressive with no computers. But apparently they sent a sound photo from Los Angeles to New York, which is like a super primitive fax, to the FBI offices in New York. And then they ended up finding it. And they said that it showed up twice. Once was because of the arrest in Santa Barbara.
Right.
And the other one was because she had to get her fingerprints on file to work at Camp Cook in January of 1943.
That's what I saw.
But legit, how did they match that up? I don't understand. They were like, okay, it's female. That's not the mailbox. Then we'll go over to the female. And then they just start fucking setting them down in front of a magnifying
glass. I don't know how they did that, but they were also the ones, the FBI was also the ones who sent the mugshot back, because no one in LA knows to get a mugshot from Santa Barbara, but they sent the mugshot back, and that's how it
made
it
to the press. Probably like female, this age, black hair. They start narrowing it down, and then the box gets smaller, and then there's probably a picture with their prints,
right?
And so they're like,
because they did it in less than an hour.
Girl, she has a big bloody smile,
right?
She may or may not have had a big bloody smile in the original photo.
Ugh, rough. So she ends up living in LA, and she ends up going back to Florida. Where apparently she was, I know.
How long is that bus ride?
Yeah, fucking too long. Several too long. Days.
Yeah.
That's if the bus doesn't break down. Yeah, and
exactly.
You know, she's like you shouldn't get chopped in half last week.
Yeah.
With the bus rides all the time.
So she goes to Florida and she hangs out with a guy named Major Matthew Michael Gordon. And he's an Air Force officer. He's in the 2nd Air Commando Group. This is smack dab, you know, in
he looks like
World
a goblin
War II.
Too.
Yeah, he did look really
in the picture
weird.
Of them together, he was very handsome. The picture, like in like of him wearing his fucking
the pie head, cap. Yeah.
Then he looks
yeah,
like, he a
looks like a
yeah.
goblin.
But the one picture of them sitting together, like at a fine. Table, he's he's
striking. And the hat just smashed his face. I don't know.
So apparently he was in a hospital recovering from a crash during the war. And he proposed to her from the hospital and she said yes. And then shortly thereafter, he died in another crash in August of 1945. And it was less than a week before the Japanese surrendered to World War II. So that's really shit.
Yeah, she got a letter from his mom saying that he had got killed.
Yeah, the photo I saw, they said it's tragic because at the time of that photo, they were both dead within 3 years of that photo.
Yeah.
Right. Both of them dead.
Yeah. So, yeah, within a year of that photo.
He might have got chopped in half in that plane crash.
It could have. It might have been might have been like matching deaths. That's crazy.
So, and again, and this kind of ties to the theories that she might have been a little fast and loose because shortly thereafter that, like within a couple of months, she ends up moving to Long Beach because she's visiting another Air Force lieutenant named Joseph Gordon Fickling, who she also knew from Florida. So she's like, oh, my.
Gotta get dinner, man.
I need to go out there and get dinner.
She's starting to lose weight. Looking like she's on a water fast for 4.5 days now.
Girl's gotta eat.
She's, hungry.
So she ends up out there. And then according to like multiple articles that I read, she was like befriending a lot of men, going to jazz clubs, like hanging out in bars, like the whole
scene. They said between four and 5 days a week, she would be at a club partying, probably because she's getting free drinks. And,
but again,
and
I mean, I'm
stuff,
like,
you know?
It's fucking World War II just ended. Yeah. You're 22 years old. You're attractive. Yeah. You live in Los Angeles. Yeah, you're going to fucking clubs.
She was super moochy, though. They said she would sleep on anyone's couch, like that she could get a place, like try to line up friends when she traveled. She was kind of gypsy status, but just didn't dress like it. One of the documentaries was so insulting. He's like, she had poor hygiene. The autopsy showed she had poor hygiene. All of her teeth were in, were rotted, and she would have never seen her acting job come to fulfillment. The only reason she's even famous is because she got cut in half. And I was like, God, what's this host fucking
rough? Well, no, but the thing is, though, because I read the description on her death certificate, and it said hair was light brown, dyed black, and then the whole bunch of stuff in the description. And the last thing in the description was simply bad teeth.
Yeah.
Like that's it. Like her teeth were bad enough that it made it into the death certificate.
Yeah. He was
like I saw it in half, Joker smile, bad teeth.
Yeah.
Like how bad were those teeth?
Pretty bad. It was actually worse to look at than the body sawed in half.
It's like the autopsy guy was like, oh, this is really gruesome. Cut in half. Open that mouth. Oh, Jesus God. Look at those teeth.
That's what they say. A dentist did it though. He cut her mouth so he could get it open wide enough to get the teeth. He had to get like a jackhammer in there and shit to work on them things.
So aside from the mule teeth, so she on January 15th, 1947, I guess it was two years after the fiance died. Morning of January 15th, 1947, a woman named Betsy Bursinger is walking her daughter in a stroller, and they're in it's not really even a full neighborhood yet. It's called Limert Park. I haven't really heard of it before that. It's obviously not a very prominent part
of
Los Angeles.
She was headed to the shoe cobbler, which is cool because that's fucking some old school shit.
That is some old school shit.
Have you seen The Cobbler?
But it was like
that's a good movie.
No.
You haven't seen it?
No.
Adam Sandler. It's good.
But it's like a completely unfinished neighborhood.
Right.
Like they've laid the streets out. There's a couple houses going up. This is like the very beginning of the post-war boom. The war just ended. They're starting to build suburbs in Los Angeles. So she's walking her daughter. And when she's walking up, one of the reasons she gets as close as she does is when she's looking at it, the way the body is posed in the grass, she thought it was a mannequin, like the upper and lower torsos of a mannequin that were just separated and laying on the lawn.
Yeah, because there was no blood.
Right.
That was her primary observation, was it was so pale. That's why she didn't think it was a real body. She said her first observance, she thought it might have been like newspapers or something when she glanced, and she looked harder and she's like,
I always think
mannequin.
It's,
And then her daughter was just fucking, I guess, old enough to be terrified, like hugged her.
I would imagine.
She covered her eyes and fucking ran.
Whenever I see bodies like laying on the side of the road, I always think that they're newspapers.
Yeah. It's usually what the first go-to. Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I wonder if that's today's paper.
Well, because what's white? USA Today? Is that
the LA Times?
Oh, it's a corpse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I wonder if I should call somebody. Nah. Just gonna keep going.
We'll just recycle it.
Yeah.
So she's, and for anybody who lives in LA, it's the 3800 block of South Norton Avenue. Yep. So you can go and.
So if your house is built right there, creepy. She died in your front yard.
That's right.
Somebody, it's actually somebody's front yard.
In the grass. Because
it was a vacant, it was a lot that they hadn't built a house on
yet. Oh, was it?
Okay. Yeah. It looked like Hill Valley, November 5th, 1955.
And there's a lot of creepers out there that deal with this topic. Like I was trying to read one article and it was like this guy's blog and he was like going this like in-depth thing about the Black Dahlia. And it's like.
How the fuck your dead body?
It's like she lived at 50, like her, one of her apartments was 501, you know, apartment 501, such and such. And there's like this, like completely joyless picture of this dude, like standing right in front of an apartment that says 501. Oh, and he's just like staring at the camera. Someone else took a picture and it's like a modern day photo. It's like, there's the apartment like right now. And then it was like, and she also lived in another apartment. And there's like picture of creeper standing in front of this other. And it's like,
he's not
smiling. He's just like, looks all weird.
The kind of guy that would go seek out that apartment. Yeah. To get a picture might be a little weird.
Yeah, and it's kind of like you're going to somewhere where somebody died. You know, like you somebody died in this house.
Smile might not be appropriate.
Well, and that and it, there's just something about that. You know, some people want to actually go and like some people don't care. You know, like if I go I'm like, oh, somebody died in here, you know, whatever. But other people, they have this feeling about it.
You know, if the chalk outline was there, you probably wouldn't smile.
Right. Well, let me say this. A smile would not have been an appropriate look to give the camera, but neither was the creepy look he gave to the camera.
Maybe that's just his resting creep
face.
Resting creep face.
Yeah, he fucking did. I'm sure there are several appropriate facial expressions to have to show like solemnity about this issue, but that was not the
I mean, it's just like some people just look like a child molester and they can't help it.
Right.
You're just like, that guy looks like a fucking child molester.
Right.
They were born.
And he's probably not. You know, he's probably a cool dude.
It's because they're
just likes
with
kids.
Aviator glasses on. And a mustache.
Yeah. Yeah. He just likes kids. It's not his fault.
Right.
You know, he's probably a cool, nice guy.
Right. And he drives
their power wheels.
Drives a panel van with no windows.
I was going to say their power wheels when they're litter was a little panel van.
He loves candy. Yeah. And he likes to have other people enjoy candy. It's not his fault.
He gives it to strangers.
Yeah, he just wants them to have the enjoyment that he has.
Right.
You know?
Right.
No strings attached.
Yeah.
But
his
that's
clock,
just, you know.
On his clock, the little hand touches the big hand.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. So her body is found cut in half just above the waist. There are apparently portions of flesh that are missing.
Mm-hmm. Stuffed in her vagina.
The body
and her anus.
Is. What?
Can't be stuffed in her vagina. Did you guys read that?
Well, no. So there was pieces from her thigh and some of her other. There's a couple pieces that they had cut off and put into her vagina and anus. That was in the
But
report.
Here's the problem with her vagina. She was underdeveloped. Like she was some specific type of hermaphrodite.
She had a deviated vagina?
She was incapable of intercourse. So that means, like she didn't actually have a developed vagina. Like it wasn't actually there. She had multiple parts. Yeah.
Something was stuffed in there though. There had to have been some sort of any.
Yeah, it must be some.
Because it was in the report that.
Vaginal crevasse of sorts.
Yeah.
But that leads into a lot of the stuff. People think that maybe her whole flirting with sailors and then she got a little further
here's the thing though. Like this is not
a sailor doesn't cut somebody in half at the bottom vertebrae, drain their blood, wash the body, and then pose it in a field.
Yeah.
I bet one of those fools was a sailor that we've covered at some point in time.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure
before
that's the
case. Before you're a serial killer, you're a sailor.
I just want to make it clear, like this isn't just some random. We found the body in an alley, and it's kind of like, oh, that's trap. No, this was like a professional serial killer style.
Yeah. They didn't
killed somewhere else, drained of all like perfect. Like everybody says,
this
like it was professionally drained of blood.
Because like if I'm gonna saw somebody in half, I'm just gonna kind of cut them in half.
You could have been a deer hunter for all that matter. Well, hung them up. You know, same difference.
Yeah, but a deer anatomy is different than a human anatomy. You know what I mean?
Gravity the way that doesn't matter. Though they tied her feet
the way that they cut, the way that you drain the blood or whatever, that's one thing. But the way that they cut the spine it's actually a medical term of how they did it. You know,
I thought about that once they got through her.
Was it a bisectomy? It's called a bisectomy where they actually separate the body.
I don't know.
What was that? I'll have to look up the word. I'm not a doctor, just so you know.
You're not?
No. I just
this whole time
I sound like one.
I can't believe I let you do that shit yesterday.
Yeah. Two fingers. Yeah. Well, yeah. When I was like,
please cough.
Yeah, I was like, look, Brent, no hands, and you're like, whoa, that's crazy. You didn't even know.
It still felt like two fingers, though. Yeah. For the record, only two fingers.
My fingers are fat.
They're short though. Yeah. They're little sausage fingers. Yeah, they are.
Yeah. No, they're not short. I just have weird. I have big palms.
Little sausages over there.
Yeah, you look at you getting all hard looking at him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you winked at me right now. That was creepy. That was a creepy wink.
That was my resting fuck face.
Yeah.
So one thing that I read, there's a woman named Kim Cooper who gives like a true crime tour in LA right now. And she said that at one point she was giving the tour, and when they got to they stop at various crime places through LA, and when they got to the Black Dahlia's house, like an older gentleman that was on, I don't know if he was a gentleman.
He might not have been.
I said he could have been a fucking prick. Man. Like, I don't older know. As soon man. As someone says gentleman, I picture like a very dapper man with a
top hat on.
So there's just
shit.
An older guy who's like on the fucking tour bus. And
did he have a monocle? Because that would have.
Exactly. That would tip you in the gentleman.
Yeah, he's gentleman side. Yeah.
But he apparently. He was a paperboy at the time, and the news had gotten out from all the kids that there was this fucking dead body on this lawn. So he like rushed on his bike to see the body. And he said, he told her, quote, "It's the first naked woman I ever saw."
Oh, man.
And she said, quote, "I think it affected the rest of his life." Yeah. Oh, do you? Do you think so?
Yeah.
Because I saw the photo and it affected the rest of my life.
Yeah, they didn't have police tape. Like, there was no perimeter. The media was just up there with their big ass old school cameras.
Well, the media got there before LAPD did. Yeah. They were just tromping around the crime scene, taking fucking photos, like the whole.
And I wonder why you can't find a fucking killer.
Yeah, exactly. It's a fucking paper. Boy riding around, like
fucking licking his fingers, touching her nipple.
All the newsies are there. Like, it's just, it's not
Jesus
good.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
How many fingerprints are on that body? Like 600.
But most of them are newsies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just pictured that fucking kid riding out there. And then,
she was cut in half. Her uterus was pulled out. Some other things were pulled out. She had no
blood.
All of
her intestines were pulled out.
Yeah, her intestines were pulled out. She was washed completely clean. And then she had a hole above her vagina, like in her lower abdomen, right above the pelvic, right in the pelvic bone area. Mm-hmm. There was a hole cut there. I don't know.
Jesus Christ.
I don't know why. They said they didn't know why or what.
It's like cesarean cut that area.
Yeah. And it was, but it was a vertical hole.
That was a fuck hole.
Like a
Mars.
But that's what they said. Yeah. That's what they said. They didn't even want to think about what that hole was for. And I was like, ooh, I was like, that gets kind of nasty. So I don't know.
He did the pile driver on.
Yeah.
He came from above.
So technically the killer did get up in her guts. I just want to say that.
Yeah. Technically.
But,
so the
Brad couldn't even reach my guts with those little sausage fingers.
Officers.
You'd be surprised what I can do.
They reported that the reporters were walking over the evidence. They were withholding information. And I was tripping on this. One of the things that I read said that at one point the reporters were in the LAPD station, and there were so many reporters there once this thing blew up that like people were calling to give clues and tips on the case. And there were so many reporters there that they were like answering the phones before the cops could get to them,
trying
to fucking steal the scoop.
Oh my
So it's like there's
God.
Only so many cops.
And so they probably missed the actual killer called, and the fucking paper's like, "Hello, this is fucking Detective John."
And they were just bullshitting and answering the phone, trying to get information.
Did you see what happened
the cops
with
could?
The media calling her mom?
No.
They called her mom and told her that her daughter had won a beauty contest so that they could verify that it was really her and that she would cooperate. So the reporters, I don't remember which newspaper, but they called, said, "Hey, are you the mother of such and such? She's won a beauty contest and we just need to verify some information." They got all the information and then told her, "Actually, I just needed you to verify and I wanted you to be honest. Your daughter's dead. She got chopped in half or whatever."
Yeah, yeah. She was in a magic show and they cut the box in half.
I think we have a new suspect. Yeah. We need to be looking at magicians.
Yeah, nobody was looking at the magicians.
Nobody was looking at the magicians.
This is a big time for like Houdini and shit. Like, nobody's looking at him.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, Houdini. This is one of Houdini's tricks that didn't work.
Yeah, it's like
and he's like, ooh, damn it.
Oh, so you don't really saw them in half?
Like, yeah, he's like, I got to figure this shit out. Yeah. Okay. He's like, maybe I stick to locks and getting out of some water. Because fucking, I can't have this many dead girls.
Rough. So did you guys see the thing about the person calling and claiming they were the killer?
I mean, lots of people called.
There was, yeah. there was one, some more legit.
There was
one that was like, it was a while later. So this happened in January of 46 or was it 47?
Yeah. So the coroner, they kept out a bunch of 47. Stuff. Yeah. They kept out a bunch of critical information that only the killer would know. And they didn't circulate that. And somebody had called and said that they were the killer and actually had information that only the coroner knew, or you know what I mean? The detectives, and they were like, holy shit. Like this
had
person
to do with, like,
would
the rope marks on the ankles and
yeah.
or something.
And this was on the 20th. So she died on the 15th of January, 1947. This is on the 23rd of January, 1947. And she also, apparently this person also called the Los Angeles Examiner and said that they didn't like the fact that coverage for the murder was starting to dwindle in the media. And they said that they were going to send items to the editor. And the next day, a packet arrived at the newspapers, and it contained apparently her birth certificate, business cards, photographs, an address book with the name Mark Hansen embossed on the cover. And apparently Hansen was an acquaintance who she had stayed with before.
Yeah.
He was like either a talent scout or a club owner.
Well, there was a few of them. There was a couple actors. There was a talent scout guy, a club owner. There was a few people in there. They checked them all out. They cleared them all. Apparently,
The Mark Hansen though, there's a lot to it. Like he definitely was like in whatever restaurant or club that she was at. He was one of the last people to see her as well.
Somebody had to be the last person to see her. How'd they get his address book?
I mean, but that whoever did the that package, they cut all the words out from a newspaper, like old school ransom style,
right?
And then they soaked the package in gasoline to get rid of the fingerprints. So whoever did that was, they knew what the fuck was up,
right?
To do that. I wouldn't have thought to do that.
No.
And then they dropped it in the mail. So there's no fingerprints on it.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of suspicion that the press did that. But I was like, the press soaking gasoline. Yeah. I guess they're like this cheesy cutout letter thing, but that's how I'm doing it. When I do it, that sounds cool. Yeah. I'm going to do it all from
do it different though. Every time. Every time you kill somebody, you got to do it different. We know that now.
Right.
Because I have a friend that has a bunch of old Cosmo magazines.
Right.
So I'll use those.
Trend.
Yeah.
At the time during the investigation, I read that they were trying to link it to two other murders that were happening. And I had heard of neither of these and could have gone without.
Well, you know why you didn't hear about them?
Why?
Because Hearst, William Randolph Hearst, actually, who owned the paper, wanted to help keep them out and only run the Black Dahlia stuff, and any other links or anything else that led to anything else, they took it out.
He was just running.
He made sure. Yeah. Partially because one of them was the girl who got murdered was one of his friend's daughters. He was a rich mogul. So it's kind of
with all his control. He's the whole reason we can't have hemp and weed.
So it's kind of, it was kind of shady, like what he did, because he was the one that kind of ran her as a prostitute that, you know, which apparently she can't even have sex. So that kind of runs that out of the story.
She was a blowjob specialist.
Yeah.
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 It's funny though, because when you were mentioning the press earlier, like in the back of my brain, I just thought, Hearst, motherfucker. And then now you say this and I'm like, yep, that fucking makes sense. So apparently they thought it might, I'll just give the name of the murders because this will tell you why they thought there was a connection. It was the Cleveland Torso Murders.
Yeah. They just said it was too far.
How about that? Like,
they said it was too far away, so they just didn't directly correlate it. But I mean, the other murders, it was the same kind of thing. They were cutting bodies in half.
Yeah.
But difference.
Those were two of the other ones. There was one more in the LA area that they found. This is the William Randolph Hearst connection.
This must have been the lipstick murder.
No, it was the one where they found her dead in the bathtub. She had been raped, strangled, and
she had been
beaten, raped, strangled, and left in the bathtub face down. And they had said that, she hit her head or something and fell and drowned. But really, somebody raped and murdered her.
She accidentally fell down and fucked herself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And hit her head and fucking gagged herself. Yeah. And then fucking...
She fell right on the shampoo bottle.
So that was the hearse.
That had
seen. That was the one that he covered up that he didn't want any mention of. But they called that the clean murder because she was in a bathtub.
Okay.
That had been, she had been washed. So I guess they could tell she had been raped from abrasions or something, but everything else was clean. So they had
some Kobe on it. Yeah. Had some vaginal bruising.
So the thing about the when I looked into the Cleveland torso murders, I didn't think it was really the same because all of the torso murders, they were beheaded.
Right.
And yeah, I just can't picture a serial killer. I mean, and they were also cut in half in the torso, et cetera, but I just can't picture you.
That's just for having that movability.
MO. Yeah.
Just changing
unless
the
game. That's just what you do in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Like when you get to LA, you know.
Yeah. I mean, how else are you going to fuck the throat hole straight?
And they were castrated. And the cleaning of their bodies involved like chemical burns. So like it didn't really add up to this one. So it makes me wonder if maybe this person might've been a copycat.
He was out of his town. So he was compromising. He didn't have his good knife. Couldn't finish the head off.
Yeah.
And he didn't have his chemicals with him. So he just went with the bathtub. Hmm.
So there was another one called the lipstick murder, which happened 3 weeks after the Dahlia death in Los Angeles. And a guy named H.C. Shelby was a bulldozer operator. He was on his way to the job site and he noticed a bunch of women's clothing in a pile. And when he got over there, he found a naked body of a dark haired woman laying in the grass. And she was completely covered in bruises, blood and mud. And on lipstick on her back, it said, "Fuck you, BD and Tex."
Ooh.
T-E-X.
Well, that was just another serial killer mad at the Black Dahlia.
Well, but here's the thing, though, because I read another article that said it said that the writing actually said, "Fuck you, PD, not BD." And I was like, give me a break. It's one or the other. It's either a fucking B or it's a P. And then when I looked at the picture, I was like, no, it's either a B or a P. Like, because the thing, it's clearly like, because there's a couple of weird, like, lipstick swooshes on the back as well. And it's either a PD. Because it's if it is a B, it's
weird. He wrote it while it was still behind her.
If it is a B, it's weird because there's a weird slash finishing the B, which looks like some of the weird lipstick slashes on her back that aren't part of the writing. So I could see it being either one, but the BD would be Black Dahlian.
It's because that was his girlfriend. She cheated along with the guy from Texas with the big dick, and it stands for Big Dick Tex.
Right.
Like, everything's big in Texas, honey. And then he had an affair with her, and then that guy got mad and killed her.
So it wasn't just two fingers.
And the reason that the letter was, it's because he was still behind her and there was too much movement going on while he was writing that. So he's got sloppy.
Did you see the picture?
I can't find it.
Okay. So this blew up in the newspaper. You see what I mean? Like that.
Yeah,
weird
it looks like a BD though.
Let me see. You see those other slashes that could like.
It's pretty BD.
What is the other symbol? Oh no.
It could be either. Like, it could be either one. It could, I can.
Fuck you, BD.
Yeah, what's the letter in the middle?
That B's all big and weird.
No, it's B, D.
Oh, BD.
Yeah.
Big Dick Tex for sure, man. So, sold on
Yeah, it's Big Dick Tex was here. It says below that. Yeah. You just can't see it on
the tramp stamp.
The fucking newspaper ran with the headline, "Werewolf Strikes Again!" Exclamation point. Kills LA woman, writes BD on body.
Why werewolf?
I have no idea. That was the headline, "Werewolf Strikes Again." And like,
maybe
what?
One of the editors was like, let's call him the werewolf.
Yeah.
I hope it sticks, man, and I'll get credit.
I don't know. Nah. But yeah, so then there ends up being like, when we look at the false confessions, like all these people confessed, one person, and I didn't see a name and they talked about it, was an army corporal who said that he'd been drinking with her in San Francisco a couple of days before her body was discovered. And he said that he got like army guy just back from World War II on shore leave, blackout drunk for several days.
Right.
And he claims that he came to in a cab outside of New York's Penn Station and had no memory of several days, but found out this girl he was hanging out with in San Francisco was now dead. So he said he confessed because he thought he might have done it while he was blacked out.
Right.
But it turns out that he was actually on his army base.
He was real blacked out.
Yeah, he was on his army base. So he's either just fucking lying or he was blackout drunk on the army. Like, I've never heard of someone being so blackout.
They actually gave him a polygraph and they gave him sodium pentothal. Or whatever, pentothal. They gave him truth serum and a polygraph too, and he passed everything.
So yeah, that's, I don't know. I've never heard of someone being so fucking blacked out drunk that they blacked out in San Francisco, woke up in New York,
yeah,
like in a cab, pre-jet plane. Like that's a hell of, and really you're on your base for one of those days in the middle blacked
maybe
out.
Maybe just
drunk.
Sucked at dates like me, where it's just like he didn't know what day it was.
Yeah, that could have been.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw her on Tuesday and then like.
Yeah, especially with drunk in the middle. He might have really bad at dates.
Yeah, that's true. So anyway, that was the only like confession that I read any details about. So I didn't know if you guys read more about confessions.
I didn't really get into the confessions. I was just trying to find evidence that was kind of legit. Like there were so many people that said that they killed her.
Right.
And there were so many different people they were looking at who could have possibly killed her.
It was crazy how many people had weird suspicions. There was a guy that was like the cook at the restaurant. Did you see that?
Mm-mm.
He was a cook at a restaurant that had allegedly someone said he had a car. Cause they said when they saw the body, someone saw a light painted car pull up next to that area, like mm-hmm. within 20 feet of that area, and empty some trash out of their car and then drive away. And so the guy, somehow they marked it up.
A bunch of newspapers.
It was going to be this cook at a restaurant. I don't know how they lined it up to that, but the detective went to the restaurant, walked in the back, and the dude acted shitty as fuck. And he said, hey,
do you have a car? Fine.
He walked him to the back and said, yeah, my car's in the back, and it had been freshly painted black. Like the paint was still sticky. So like there's all kinds of weird shit. We're like, why'd that guy paint his car the day before? He was a suspect somehow. There was just a million people that had really shady shit going on. The doctor with the room in his house that no kids were allowed in.
Right.
Yeah. And then his son ends
up being
a cop.
Only dead girls.
What's the doctor's name?
So that's really the biggest.
I think that one's the biggest though, because the son actually turned into an LAPD officer.
He
turned
years.
Into a homicide officer who has over 300 cases under his belt. Now retired. Finds out his dad was linked to this case.
He goes to their old house with a cadaver dog, and there's
but the whole okay, so the whole thing is a fucking trip. So a guy named Steve Hodell, retired LAP detective, grows suspicious that his father might have been the killer when he sees pictures that he thinks were Elizabeth Short, like in his father's possession. So,
well, did you see how he? Like kind of did some facial recognition with those.
Well, someone examined it physically and said no, it wasn't a match. Yeah, then they did facial recognition software and they said it was a 98% match or something.
Yeah, and later he did a new thing where he measured freckles on her face, and there's three freckles on her face that actually showed up in the other photos that were a perfect match.
Oh, with the photos.
There's like one on her nose, one on her eyebrow, and there's one on another part of her head, and they were in the exact same spots on the dead Elizabeth Short and those two photos that were in his dad's scrapbook.
So the stuff about this dad gets weird because he was apparently he was in charge of public health in LA County.
He's a doctor.
So he's a doctor. He's high up. And people say that one of the, he was actually in the top 12 suspects.
He
from
went
the
through
LAPD.
Surgical school too or something.
Right. Yeah. But and a lot of people think that they might've dropped him off as a suspect because one of his jobs was to treat and prevent venereal diseases. And they think that like the stigma of venereal diseases among cops while this guy treated them might have made cops kind of let him off the hook, even though he did it kind of a thing. But so the other thing that I read, and I only read this in one article, and I don't know if you guys ran into this, but he was apparently involved in an incest trial involving his 14-year-old daughter. And it made him leave the country.
Yeah. He was innocent, though. He got off.
Well, he got off.
Oh, he got off.
But
he did get off one way or another.
He was acquitted of charges, but he left the country right away.
Right.
Yeah. Like as soon as that was done, he like headed to Asia.
Probably
and just
guilty.
Like fucking peaced out. And then his daughter gave birth to a child like 9 months later.
They look just like her dad.
And they ended up adopting, she was 14.
Oh, yeah.
And they ended up adopting the child out to somebody from
Reno. How close were the eyes together? Did you want to measure?
Yeah. I don't know. So that's, anyway, so sketchy.
Any more than a quarter inch than normal is. That's,
so he ends up living in a house that's designed by Lloyd Wright, who's the son of the famous architect Frank Lloyd Wright, which is kind of a cop out. Like, if your name is Frank Lloyd Wright, you don't like name your kid Lloyd Wright and then also make him an architect that's not as good as you. You just like robbed your child.
On purpose, yeah. Yeah, always, yeah, in the shadow.
Exactly. You can't even afford a Frank, bitch. Like, I just named you Lloyd. But anyway. At this point, so Hodel, who's the son of this guy.
I can't think about buffet restaurants anymore. That's all I'm thinking about.
Hodels.
We have a restaurant in town called Hodels. So they end up taking a sniffer dog. They go to the property. They turn up soil samples that tested positive for decomposed human remains.
Like, which obviously Black Dahlia wasn't buried there, but that means dad was up to some
Her guts might have been, the removed parts might have been.
That's why the flowers were immaculate.
But I didn't see any. I didn't see about the secret room or whatever. What was up with that room?
The son actually claimed that at their house there was a room that the kids were not allowed in. It was his masturbatorium. That last part I made up, but it could be a masturbatorium. It sounds like a masturbatorium. Yeah. Completely tile room with shower heads on all the walls.
That's
so you can wash it down easily.
That's very clean.
Yeah. There's an easy chair in the middle. It's got a water.
Yeah. Cause what would you do with the blood? You wash it down the drain. How you gonna find it? Yeah. Like
in the
just, yeah. Somebody just had a heavy flow period. They wouldn't know.
Yeah. He's like, it works for semen, works for blood. Let's do this.
And did you hear about the recording that the son found?
Yeah. The recording.
That's a hell of a thing.
So what happened was the LAPD was doing an investigation. And then they were ordered by the court, or the court actually ordered the DA to do their own separate investigation. Mm-hmm. LAPD knew nothing about it. So that
was this back in the day, or was this
back in the day? Yeah,
okay. They bugged his house.
Yeah, so they went in. Yeah, they called him in and started talking to him. And while they were talking to him, while they had him in custody, or he wasn't in custody, I guess he was just there talking to them on his own will. Mm-hmm. They went in and bugged his house with 40 something bugs and listened to him for 40 days, 40 nights.
Damn.
This is a flood of information. So, and they came up with these crazy phrases that I'm sure you have written down where he says some fucking very suspicious. So
the quote that I had was, supposing I did kill the Black Dahlia, they couldn't prove it now. They can't talk to my secretary anymore because she's dead.
Yeah. So what happened to his secretary?
Right.
I know. I wanted to look that up, but I didn't have time.
Yeah.
And it's so yeah.
Yeah. What happened to his secretary? She's dead. What I was watching is they had a retired DA look at this and look at the evidence that Hodel provided. Mm-hmm. And he says that no, this guy is guilty of murder, and the LAPD should come out and actually say like this was the killer.
Right.
All the evidence that he shows. So. What he said was, well, if an innocent person, they're going to say, no way, I didn't kill anybody. You know what I mean? I didn't do that. Like, don't even say my name in the same sense. He said
something else about having connections with police, though. Yeah.
Yeah. He said, supposing I did kill her. Right. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Yeah. And then he said, the police aren't going to know anyway. Right. Like, they don't know.
But he said something about that connection at the police department really worked out. It'd be nice to have a connection at the DA. That was also one of the recordings.
Fuck.
Yeah. So he clearly had some like higher level dirty cop thing going on.
And like I said, a lot of people think that it was like his weird position as VD doctor of LA. And that might have been one of the reasons people supported him or turned a blind eye or.
So he could fix all their dicks when they were cheating on their wives.
Basically, because he knew all the dirt about them cheating on their wives and doing all this shit. So everybody was like covering up for him.
Did you see the 67-year-old Alzheimer's doctor that they thought might have done it?
No.
So that one's kind of reachy, but it I don't know. There were some connections. There was apparently Elizabeth's sister on the marriage certificate. The witness to the marriage certificate was this guy or was a girl whose dad lived like two blocks from the fucking murder scene from where the body was found. So when they were just, I don't know how they made that connection, but they found out that Elizabeth's sister's witness on the marriage certificate, dad, lived two blocks from the murder scene, and he was a surgeon. And
that's
that
a trip.
Their theory is that the way she would seek, you know, refuge or hospitality, yeah, she would be like, oh, I'm such and such a sister. And that would be a house she would go to. And it's two blocks away. And there was, and I don't know, he had Alzheimer's, so he was fading away. So they tried to point it on that too, but it was pretty fucking reachy. There's just so many suspects with so much crazy evidence. And they all have, like, why did the guy paint his fucking car? Why does that guy have a secret masturbatorium? Yeah. And they recorded him saying shady shit. Yeah. And there's decomposing stuff in his back.
And there was one that, I mean, it had enough backing that the cops actually got involved. But in 1991, there was a woman named Janice Knowlton who came forward, and she claimed her father did it, and also killed two other women. And she claims that she figured it out through therapy, and that therapy was unlocking memories that she had suppressed, and that she ended up,
I think that shit's bullshit.
Yeah, I think it was, well, it was obviously bullshit but it had enough backing that the cops came and dug up the yard of her childhood home where she didn't even fucking live anymore. So right, the cops show up to some dude living in this house with a subpoena or whatever and just fucking start digging up your shit. But, because she claimed they were going to find weapons and the remains of the victims. They found farm tools, a rusty knife, and costume jewelry, but no evidence of a murder or anything
else. The guy, all three great together.
Yeah.
The guy whose address book showed up in the press package, I think I have this right, he ran a boarding house for women that were up-and-coming actresses or something, and they lived there, like, rent-free. Mm-hmm. Like, basically, they paid rent and blowjobs. Mm-hmm. And something
alleged
happened
blowjobs
where she left abruptly from that place, and years later, they someone anonymously contacted them and said, hey, they're tearing down the boarding house where she used to stay. You guys should be there. You're going to find evidence in the walls of that building. And so they went, they sent someone during the demolition and they found nothing.
Nothing. Though. Yeah.
But someone tipped them off to that, but it could be, there's all these fucking,
all these, you know, wackos,
renegade detective, fucking, backyard detective.
Yeah. But like, you know, I think, like, you would have to, if we started investigating this murder, you're going to go down a trail. You know what I mean? And if you find the guy that painted his car and all this other shit, all these leads lead to that guy, you start looking into that guy, there's probably going to be more and more shit that you're going to find. If he's obviously he's probably doing some shady shit anyway.
Right. He was
you know, like, obviously. Else, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he's probably up to something else. Fuck, cops are on his ass,
right,
you know.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, who knows? You know, like, that's what's crazy is there's so, because she was in contact with so many people so often, moving so much.
Yeah.
She is honestly the perfect murder victim.
She sucked 37 dicks and 38 people try to confess. So there's no telling.
Yeah.
But the
one of them's, like, telling the truth.
Yeah. One of them, and I even read, like, again, like, looking at the whodunit side of it, apparently one of her childhood friends wrote a book in the year 2000, which, you know, maybe just to make some money, but she wrote this whole fucking theory that claimed that it was Orson Welles.
What?
Huh.
Who killed the Black Dahlia. And they apparently, there's a whole book that came out in 2000 of one of Elizabeth Short's friends saying,
well, right now, Orson Welles. We don't know. Could have been.
We can't ask him.
Did you guys find any of the haunting stuff? I didn't have time to get into it, but apparently she's seen on certain floors.
Yeah, I saw some that I didn't really go into it, but I saw
floors of what?
Some of the ghost websites had her listed.
It's the same as the one we talked about in Mysterious Disappearances with Brian back in the day where that girl went up the elevator and then disappeared.
Yeah.
And they found her in the water tank. Like, isn't it that place or something? People are going to be mad.
No, that was in New York.
That was in L.A.
That was in L.A.?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, people are going to be mad that we didn't touch on the ghost stuff, but there's some alleged thing that
I didn't see anything
her
about
ghost
it.
Her ghost walks around some hotel.
I saw that, like, when I was doing searches for her, I saw, like, certain websites that are, like, ghost websites that had her listed, but I didn't read. I just thought it was because of the murder. I didn't think it was because of any hauntings.
Yeah,
like, whatever it's called, the Ghosts of the Prairie or Prairie, whatever. Like, I saw her pop up on there and a couple of other.
We'll be in trouble for sure on this one. There's just too many angles coming from this shit. Oh, you didn't even talk about the Swiss watchmaker.
Yeah. Yeah. He had so many connections.
Yeah. Or the baker with the bloody bread in his kitchen.
Yeah.
Fuck.
He had a bloody
candlestick in the library.
Yeah. It was the Colonel Mustard.
Damn, that candlestick changed my life. I so thought that the candlestick was the candlestick, the wax part. My whole life I thought candles were called candlesticks.
Yeah, that was the candle.
Yeah. That's just the candle.
That's the candle. Yeah.
Well, why wouldn't they call it a candle? candle stand? It doesn't make any sense.
I don't know.
The candle stick.
I didn't make it up. I just knew what it was.
Yeah.
And you didn't.
Yeah, no,
all it was.
I succeed. I know I was wrong, but that it blew my mind and changed my life. Like anything's possible now.
I can't. Right. I can't ever let that go though. Now, like we go somewhere, we go to thrift stores or something. Like, hey, Brent, look, a candlestick. Look, Brent, candlesticks right there. You want to get one?
That happened.
So I don't know, man. This murder is a trip because it's like it's got all the tags of a serial killer, like the level of precision and skill and cold-bloodedness and everything about the murder and placing the victim and all this stuff. But it's like the only one that matches that. And it's like, who did it? And why? It's like, it doesn't seem like it was some rage killing because it was very specific.
They didn't do it again.
Yeah. They didn't do it again. Like, was it a would-be serial killer who did it once? And they were like, nope, that didn't help either. And then they just didn't do it again. Did they change their MO and make it completely
every time different. They tried, they thought about doing it again, they just have flashbacks of her teeth.
And that's what scared her.
Oh, dragon breath.
So it's the Hollywood's Biltmore Hotel is where her ghost is claimed to have been seen.
Which site is that? The Prairie?
Yeah, prairieghosts.com. That's the only one. I searched Black Dahlia ghost, like haunting hotel, and it's like, comes up with everything else but that, so that's not very important,
right?
I don't know. Everybody wants there to be a ghost somewhere, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like her ghost has to be somewhere,
right?
Like, no, she went to hell,
right?
She's there
because of those demon teeth.
Yeah, demon teeth. Yep.
So I don't know. It's very strange. It is a very strange mystery. The fact that
people are going to be mad we didn't solve this. You know that, right?
Like, well, I think so we angry. Did. I'm giving it to Hodel.
I honestly
still think it was a magician.
I
a solid theory you had.
Yeah, it was just a mishap.
Watch as I saw a woman in half.
It had nothing to do. She was trying to find a place to stay. And he's like, hey, how about you be part of my act?
She's trying to be in showbiz.
Yeah, exactly.
You be part of my act.
I'm just going to practice.
Yeah, you're going to be my Vanna White.
Right. I'm going to practice.
Get in this box, bitch. Yeah.
Yeah, the Caesarian hole in her stomach was probably when the sword first went through.
Yeah.
And he thought she was a really good actress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Heard the scream. Yeah.
Yeah. And he tied her feet, her hands up out of the top of the box. Tied her feet up out of the bottom of the box.
I think it explains
not
everything.
Escaping.
Yeah.
And her teeth were already bad, so there's nothing you can do about that.
You can't get around that one.
Yeah. They didn't even have to pull him out of her head.
No.
Couldn't identify him.
And then he panicked when she was dead. And he was like, cheer up. It's okay. Just smile. And then he just freaked out and cut smiles on her face. Yeah. That's reasonable.
I think so.
Yeah. He finally lost it.
And that is the extra, like, that's the extra gruesome part is the cheek-to-cheek Joker smile that they cut
that's
on her
some
face.
Some gangster shit. Is that known for, that's like, a certain region weird. Or gang or group
I don't think so.
Just cut a smile on your face?
I think she sucked somebody's dick and they were like, just smile while you do it. And she wouldn't do it and pissed them off.
He's like, eye contact.
I saw
eye contact.
A name for it.
It really is the
they call
the Joker.
It a Glasgow smile.
Ooh, Glasgow. So it must have been a mob thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is creepy. Like it literally they modeled the Joker smile after that.
Because the thing is, it's like everything else about the murder is very precision, very surgical, very medical. And then this jagged ass fucking cut across the face does not match the cuts of everything. It's like, because even if, and I don't encourage you to go look at the photos, but the photos are all very, the cuts are very precise and very, except that is just like a brutal.
I mean, her internal organs are clean that are coming out of the upper torso.
Maybe it was a killer and was trying to chop her head off, but he used a flat nose shovel and he missed.
Fucking just cut the.
Just kind of shink.
No, because the thing across the face does not match the cuts on the rest of the body.
Maybe somebody found her before the mom did that was walking and was like, oh, you're laying there all sad. Cheer up.
Rough.
Just some drunk guy. Maybe that's why the guy down the street did that.
Maybe it was a two-man job and the other guy sucked. He's like, oh, you fucked the smile
up. You cut the smile.
What are you
going
to do at that point?
Yeah. Yep.
You got to bail out.
Go paint your car.
All right. Is it sponsor status here? Time for sponsors.
Yep, sponsors.
All right.
And again, as we've been doing, when we're done with sponsors, the rest of you will go away. But for a handful of you who are our patrons, we're going to tell secrets. So stick around and we'll tell some secrets. Not really. You just haven't eaten in 4.5 days.
Yeah. The Tree of Trust has been
Four and three quarters at this point. I'm not counting, but
our nest walls have been broken down. People are listening to the secrets.
No, I don't think they are
supposed to be.
I think they're just kidding.
Maybe we'll just say that people are sharing their secrets.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah, you can't listen, but if anyone wants to share, they're free to share.
People are good. Yeah. Mm. So.
All right. Well, thank you to El Yucateco Hot Sauce. Congratulations to Michael Milionis and Tyler Mott, the runner-up, for their submissions this week. Michael is going to get an El Yucateco barbecue, and I'm legitimately jealous. That's a cool little barbecue. The bag comes off of it and turns into an ice chest, which is pretty slick. And I was all worried. I was like, you can put the dirty ass ice chest or the dirty barbecue back in the bag. It's the top inner circle becomes an ice chest, mm-hmm. and the part that holds it is separate. So it's pretty clever. I feel like you're going to melt it the first time though, Michael. You better let that shit cool down.
What do you think? That's not our problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. That's not our problem.
Yeah, no refunds, sir. No. You win one time.
If you're not smarter than the barbecue and bag, you don't need to own it.
So yeah, congratulations, Michael and Tyler. Thank you to El Yucateco. It's available at most major grocery stores. You can get it at Target and Walmart and the Mexican markets. You can get it on Amazon.com. And if you buy it from El Yucateco's website, you can save some money by using code SOFAKING. We need to thank PrintDirtCheap.com. And you can buy sticky stuff there, print stuff there, banners, all kinds of shit, but not a Gary Coleman stand-up, at least not if you can see his face. So mark that off your list. Thank you to DeLeon Graphics with an X. You can find him on Facebook. He accepts dick pics through Facebook and or Instagram. But on a real note, if you need koozies or t-shirts or something silkscreened, hit him up and he would be happy to get the work. Thank you to Digital Creations for our coffee mugs and all the cool stuff that they've made us in the past. You can find them at digital.creations Bakersfield, I think it is. Digital.creations.bakersfield. I've only said it 1,000 times, but I'm forgetting. They're on Facebook and Instagram. And then thank you to Dan Camarillo Jiu-Jitsu. You can log into armhunter.com to buy apparel and instructional DVDs. And on that note, cue the Trust Tree Nest music that never comes.
Oh, I'll put it in this time.
All right.
I'll forget.
Cue the music.
Nope. Cue music.
Yeah. I forget. I don't know.
All right. Who's going first?
Are they gone now?
Yeah, I think so. Everyone.
Well, we have to tell them who. No, we have to tell them who to stay.
Oh, that's true. I have to tell them. So, how many? How many are you guys going to do?
I'll just do one this one, two next one. Okay. So, okay. Are you guys going to do two?
I'll do two this time.
I'll do two. Yeah, we got to knock them out.
Okay, so Julia, stay.
say her real name.
Well, I don't know how to say her real name. Divaginzi.
The vaginas.
Divaginzi? Something. So, Julia, if you have a fucked up ass last name, you can stay.
Yeah.
I'm inviting any Julia with a bullshit ass last name. You're allowed to stay. Yeah. So, you can listen.
I'll tell the secret to Shane Abel and to Anthony Papalia. So, stick it on. And I'll give you a secret.
Papalia.
It's not the food, man. I'm telling you, that's a really good impression. I like it. It's good.
Thanks.
Stick it on.
All right. So for me, it's Terry Presley and Alicia Townsend. Townshend. Nah.
Townshend?
I don't know.
What is wrong with these people's names?
Oh, you know, Townshend. It is all where Townsend. You put the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable. Right. Yeah, I got it.
So, okay. The rest of you,
Townshend.
Be good, etc. We trust you not to keep listening.
Yep. Turn your cassette recorders off.
There we go.
All right.
Who's going first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
I'll start with a simple one.
All right. I'll follow Dave.
It's it's a secret. This is for you, Shane A. Abel. Not that big of a deal, but some people think it's strange. I love Hall & Oates.
Oh, the band? Yeah.
Yeah.
The group, I should say. Not a band. They're just singers, right?
Well, it's a band. It's a band.
Yeah, those get, what's their names though? You don't get
Daryl Hall and John Oates.
Yeah, but I'm saying who played guitar? They just sang.
Right? No, Daryl Hall's the only one that sang.
Yeah,
John Oates didn't sing, but there was a whole band of other people.
How come the one guy got credit, and then the rest of the band didn't get credit? They liked each other. That's Maneater, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah, I'm down.
Yeah.
I'll admit that as a secret too. There's no shame in that.
Like I said, it's not a big thing.
Yeah, that's not even an issue.
But a lot of
really.
People, I think.
Who doesn't like Hall & Oates?
A lot of people don't like Hall & Oates.
I'll tell you what, Hall & Oates is making me hungry for oats right now, though, man. It's making me think about oatmeal.
Like I said, it's not a huge deal. It's not like it doesn't deal with sex or people shitting their pants or anything, but I love Hall & Oates. I'm willing to admit it. I've had some people tell me that it makes me. It adjusts my tears of white and blackness.
Yeah. I celebrate their entire collection.
Exactly.
I do. Yeah. I have all of it.
The whole catalog.
The whole catalog, yeah. Mm-hmm. That and Michael Bolton.
The bullshit ass.
Fuck Michael Bolton.
I heard he's an asshole in real life.
I hope he is.
But walking in Memphis, I mean, there's just, I mean, nothing. You can't hold a candle to that shit.
What is that?
It's a song by Michael Bolton. It's the only one I can think of. All right. Terry Presley. I hope you're listening. I hope you stayed tuned. This was an embarrassing moment at the time. But, you know, now that I'm growing up, I'm able to talk about it. And we laughed about it a lot because it's kind of a funny moment. And this is a real fucking story. This is real. A lot of times you guys probably think we're telling lies, but this is real. I was 12 years old. I can't talk. And we were in church. I used to go to church. My parents forced me at that age. I didn't have a choice. But I went to church and I farted on the pew. And it was so squeaky and so loud that the guy at the top, whatever he was, pastor or whatever, stopped talking. And people turned towards me like it was fucking obvious. There was no getting away from it. But that's not even the funny fucking part.
You shit your pants.
No, no. So you would think an embarrassing story was that I shit my pants. It's that the fart sounded like the intro to Beastie Boys' Brass Monkey. I can't do that with my mouth, but I did it with my ass that day.
But
it sounded note for note melodically like Brass Monkey to the point that this is no joke. When we walked out of church, my parents were like, I cannot believe that happened. And all my cousin could say was, dude, that sounded just like Beastie Boys' Brass Monkey.
That funky monkey.
Yeah.
So
that was funky.
Terry Presley, that is your secret. Don't tell anyone or tell someone, I guess, if you want. But I'm not embarrassed about it anymore. It's kind of a bragging right at this point. I farted Brass Monkey.
That's hard to do.
If you did multiple notes, that's pretty good.
Yeah. That's hard to do.
And you can imagine it squeaking off.
Oh, yeah. It took me a second to get
some tight pants.
Mm-hmm. Like, so go listen to Brass Monkey and think about me farting.
How old were you?
12.
Okay.
All right, Julia's. So mine, I can only think of like embarrassing stuff that happened to me.
Hey, your story's like sleepers, man. You don't know that it's coming and your ball falls out. So I'm ready for it.
It happens.
Let's do this.
So I can think of a time where I was in my room. So I lived in my grandma had a single wide trailer.
I like it already, man.
And I'll set the scene. So I had horrible brown, nasty carpet. My room was an 8x10 cell size. I had a bunk bed. 8x10
is big for a trailer, yeah?
It was tiny. It ain't very big. Uh-huh. Single wide, so it's small. So I had a bunk bed, but there was nothing in the bottom. So I actually had more room like underneath it. I got a computer desk set up or whatever. So... But then there was this giant brown freezer in my room.
Why was it in your room?
So, but the shitty part about the freezer was that when it kicked on, it was fucking hot. Like it blew hot air. And the trailer only had a cooler, you know, like there's no fucking air conditioning at all.
And that only made it into the room that it was actually in.
It never made it to my room. Yeah. So like at night when I was sleeping, if it was hot, I'd have like summertime, fuck, it's 110 at night.
Open
the freezer and let it fucking cool the room down. Didn't really help though. So it sucks. So that was my room, like fucking shitty ass, fucking horrible, you know, teenager. But the embarrassing part is, I used to, you know, this was when the internet age was still 56K dial up modem, Packard Bell computers, 75, megahertz, processors,
4.3
inkjet printers, that would print like a color picture in like 10 minutes, maybe.
Right.
So, and even downloading a picture that was big enough to print on a full page.
You're trying to make portable porn. I feel it happening.
That's exactly what I was doing. So I took like a mini trekking magazine or something. I don't even remember what it was now, BMX magazine or something, but I made my own porn magazine. Like I had, just my favorite pictures that I had downloaded, from the internets. And one day I was in my room, checking out my porn mag, doing a little masturbatorium of my own. And I had a pillow folded in half and I was just humping away on it, looking at my porn.
You're humping a half of a pillow?
Yeah, I was humping half pillow on the floor.
And you weren't just jerking it. You're fucking a pillow. Yeah.
Humping the pillow.
For some reason, I'm picturing it looking like Pac-Man.
Yeah, that's right. Yellow from the old cum stains because I never changed the pillowcase. So
that was your pillow that you slept on.
Oh, yeah. So to make it worse, though, fucking in walks my grandma. Just fucking.
Were your pants down?
Well, yeah. I mean, down past my ass.
Were you facing her or your ass was towards her?
Well, no, she came in. So yeah, facing like the magazine was on the ground. So I'm laying long ways and she comes in the door like in front of me to my right. So like this way, like.
Bagging alley.
Yeah, there's no hiding it. So yeah, so that moment happened.
Did you just stop? You didn't finish? I can't stop. Come
After
in.
She shut the door, I finished.
Oh, man.
Did she come
in? I mean, you might as well. She probably came in to get something out of the freezer.
Yeah, like a pork chop out of the freezer.
Yeah.
Did she play it off? She's like, oh, just, hi, Bradley. No,
she just, fucking,
yeah. She ran back out?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Never spoke of it, you know, so.
Oh, what a pillow fucker.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Hey, you know, you got to get it off somehow.
I've improvised. I've done some shit. Yeah. I don't know if I ever fucked a pillow, though. That's. I mean, that makes sense.
I don't know. Some people fuck the couch. You like,
get all
you know,
hot,
like,
though.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know.
You
yeah.
did get all hot.
Yeah,
it wasn't
very. Yeah, start getting burns on it and shit. You
I don't
know?
Think that'd work these days.
Yeah, yeah. It's not. Yeah, not good. It's not good.
How old would you have been?
Oh, I don't know. Early highs, 14, maybe, yeah. 13, 12, somewhere around there.
Awesome.
Who knows?
That is awesome.
I don't remember. I remember it because it was so. You know, just like fucking your grandma walks in.
My grandma
you.
Walked in on me having sex one time.
My ex-wife's mom walked in on us.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
It happens. You know, yeah,
what did you just do? Smile, wave, and not skip a beat?
Yeah, that was kind of.
Yeah, we're married. Oh, you weren't married?
No, it's when you were in high school.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. So I remember our friend Mike, he was fucking the girl next door in the back of his Scout. And it was a long Scout, so it was one of the travelers. Right. So it had a long bed on it, and they're inside, and the fucking her dad caught him,
God,
and fucking was beating him with a gas can.
Oh
fucking
shit!
Mike's in there humping, and fucking he opens up the back and just bing, 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 just starts hitting him in the fucking head with Jesus a gas can, Christ. And fucking just catches him fucking his daughter. Yeah, it was bad news. Like.
You got another one or am I going?
Okay, I'll do the other one. So my other secret is for Anthony Papalia, and I'm going to try to balance out the whiteness, blackness of liking Hall & Oates.
Okay.
And this is a true secret. One of the reasons that I'm successful in my career is because when I was in college, I was in student government.
NAACP.
Like I was an officer in student government for several years. I was a senator in student government. I became program director, like in charge of like a huge budget, all this stuff.
6'5", orange mohawk, senator.
Orange dreadlocks.
Dreadlocks at this point. Okay.
The college age was dreadlocks.
Okay.
And I must admit, and like everybody's like, oh, you were so motivated, like you know, you wanted to make a difference and do all this stuff at Cal State. And because I, you know, I did a lot of stuff like to help the student government, you know, we like fought a lawsuit against the school on behalf of the students, like all kinds of stuff.
Damn.
But the reason that I joined student government was simply because my brother, who was in student government, was trying to convince the entire student government to host a concert on campus, and he was losing by one vote. So he had me get involved in student government so that we could win this vote. And the vote was to bring a concert to campus, and we did. So the whole reason that one of the things that launched my career was bringing Public Enemy to Cal State Bakersfield.
Oh, shit. Public Enemy came?
Fuck yeah, they came. It was legit as fuck. And opening for them was a rap group who no one had heard of. And they got decent size, I guess, a group called Far Side.
Oh, Far Side? Not Decent Side. Yeah.
So, but they, that was like
one some of the revolutionary.
That was one of their first concerts ever. Stuff, yeah. They were like in LA and they had no connection to Public Enemy or anything, but we could afford them because they were brand new. And another group who opened for Public Enemy at the same concert had their first album coming out like that month and no one liked them. And they actually got booed off stage and it was fucking Rage Against the Machine.
Oh, wow.
So my entire launch into student government was to hedge the vote so we could bring Public Enemy to campus, and it was fucking dope.
Damn, did you get to meet anyone in the band?
I met Flavor Flav. Oh, I wanted to meet Chuck D. I didn't give a fuck about Flav. I wanted to meet Chuck D, but he didn't really want to talk.
Well, we have this cocoon of trust going. Yeah. And you know, I feel we'll get deeper, Dave. These are very superficial things you're sharing. And you know,
we need to remind this is for Patreon supporters for the record. We keep not saying that. If you're wondering what the fuck these secrets and shout outs are about, you shouldn't be wondering because you shouldn't be listening.
Right.
Yeah. But it is for our Patreon supporters.
Right. So, we're just telling them secrets to thank them for their
patronage.
You got one more in them.
I do have one more. Yeah. So this is Alicia Townshend. And this is another true story. Like I don't want you guys questioning my stories. This is some legit shit that happened. I think I was probably 14. So when I was 14, we started a war of toilet papering other kids' houses. And it was like every fucking Friday and Saturday, I snuck out and we spent every piece of fucking coin we could find to buy toilet paper and go find like a cute girl's house and toilet paper them. And so this was just our pastime. That's what we did. We snuck out. We made fake bodies in the bed and shit. So I'd stuff pants full of dirty laundry and put shoes up and whatnot. So if my parents came in, it was like Ferris Bueller and they thought I was still laying in bed. But the problem was if I stayed at someone else's house, you know, I was stressed, or if we weren't going to go toilet paper, I was worried I was going to get toilet papered in retaliation. And I've always been techie, and I built this crazy fucking elaborate booby trap in my fucking front yard. And so I got the idea from Freddy Krueger Part 1. I don't know if you guys remember that, but I basically built a switch out of a clothespin. So I took a clothespin and hooked it to
nipples.
To my nipples. No, I put metal contacts. Anyone understands how a switch works? I took copper wire, short length, stripped it, wrapped it around the clothespin, and then I put a button between it so the metal wouldn't touch. So then I tied fishing line to the button, and then I ran it through little eye holes that were connected to like my neighbor's fence, the telephone pole a little ways down off the tree. And so there was this tripwire system through my yard that you couldn't see. But if you walk through the tripwire, it would pull the button out from between the clothespin. And what the clothespin was switching was a speaker wire that was hooked to my stereo that was turned to 10. And I had Metallica playing on a repeat. So if you walk through, it would pop that clothespin and turn Metallica on as loud as my fucking stereo would go that I had the speakers facing in the windows. So it was a pretty guaranteed. I ran toilet paper like attempts off several times from my house. But this time I stayed up super late. I'd be on the roof and shit. Finally, I gave up. I forgot to turn the trap off and I went to sleep. And I woke up to Metallica at fucking 10 screaming out of my fucking speakers and my mom flipping out, yelling at me going, "Oh, Jesus Christ, turn it off, Brett, turn it off, turn it off." And the funny part is not that my mom's mad that the stereo's on 10. It's that two Jehovah Witnesses are tangled in fishing line in my fucking front yard while like Inner Sandman or some shit is just like, like fucking playing out my front of my house. And they're like, "Oh my God." And they're all tangled up and fucking, cause I had some at neck height and some at fucking ankle height. So I fucking ran out there. My mom's like, "I'm so sorry. My son built a booby trap," and tried to try to explain to him.
Fuck them. They shouldn't have been coming in your yard.
That's right.
Yeah. I think no more Jehovah Witnesses.
Yeah, the word got out.
Yeah. So yeah, Alicia Townsend.
Should have had Danzig playing or something. That would have been better for the Witnesses.
Yeah. I had like five CDs. It was like Metallica, Brooks and Dunn, and some other shit. I don't know what it was.
Yeah. Yeah. At that time, it would have been like Master P for me or something. Yeah. Fucking C Murder.
Yeah.
It was like 94, 90. Yeah. Yeah. Somewhere in there. 93
That's
maybe.
Funny.
So yeah, I trapped some Jehovah Witnesses with fishing line and Metallica. So
did you beat them in the head and then cut their bodies in half?
I laughed a lot, but from my bedroom where I just pressed power on my stereo, and then my mom was just, they got untangled and they left. So that was that. That's I didn't get in great. Trouble or anything. Yeah, it's a good story.
All right.
We're going to end like that, all awkward as fuck. There's no more stories. Mm-hmm.
I pour my heart out and you guys tell these superficial bits.
I don't know if I never fuck my pillow and get caught by my grandma.
Had to be something.
Much better ending. There you go. And not a laugh.
Had to be something. Yeah.
Okay.
Take it away, Brad.
That's like my my buddy. I don't even know if I guess I could say his name. My buddy Cameron. He got his grandma caught him fucking jacking off in the closet of his house. Mm-hmm. So he lived in the trailer park too. So that's pretty funny. And then we had turned around in the driveway and we were out there like working on bikes or something. And I guess he pulled his dick out. Like in front of like the kitchen window, like you're under an awning, there's a kitchen window right there. And me and our other buddy, Jeff, are turned around and he fucking pulls his dick out, I guess, to try and fucking surprise us or some shit. I don't know what the fuck his plan was.
Dick surprise.
Yeah. Surprise. Dick surprise. Not in a box. And all of a sudden we just hear his grandma yelling out the window, put your pecker away, put your pecker away. And we turn around and like, what the fuck? And he's stuffing his hand in his pants. And we're like, what the fuck is going on? He thought it was going to be funny, but his grandma didn't think so, apparently. So
yep. He didn't realize how funny it was actually going to be.
Yeah.
Years later.
Didn't realize he was going to make it on a podcast. Yeah. Yeah. No.
No, five. Just to a couple. Sorry. Just
to the how many Julias right. There are. Yeah. Yeah,
Julia.
Is that even their name? What's her name?
Yeah.
Yeah, Julia. Okay. All right. On that note, don't be a retard.
Why am I always playing chaperone on your internet dates?
You saw his profile.
He's wicked hot, mysterious, and he's like clairvoyant. He knew stuff about me nobody knows. You know, that stuff?
Do I look okay?
You're good to go. Come on, Jane. He says he's got two friends. You could definitely use a little naked floor wrestling.
Right, nobody ever lies on the internet, right? I mean, why here?
YOLO already. Besides, you can get some great selfies.
Jesus Christ.
To our destiny, girls.
Jesus.
After last night, we had a home invasion. She really caught me off guard. I hollered at him who he was. He lifted up his arm. He said, I'm the boogeyman.
Bring that boogeyman.
Make the people lose that shit with. Make the people lose that shit with.
Shallows, evils and pharaohs. I rocked it in like a parrot, speaking the words of the tarot. I'm locked in with the pharaoh like an arrow aimed at your face for the peril. Proud here for the accolades, so I sit here in a pack grenades. Inside words that I hurl away until the world becomes my cemetery. This ain't no child's play, child's lyric can't stop me. I'm made up of demons' blood and I rock with them zombies. I live in the darkness, death is what I encompass. Brought back by the musical voodoo in which I come with. Witchcraft, I run shit in graveyards. I come get enough souls to mash pit and just start to rock shit. Anybody got a tombstone? Watch as I get a groove gone. You probably better move on and become part of my group home. New song, move along, and I'm gone just like that. You belong in a place just like that. Just hold your breath, and I'll be right back. Just like that.
Skeleton hands everywhere surround you. Cemeteries out with the hungry need food and hoping to eat you. You a dancing fool. Better come to boogie cause it's starting to rain. More like a lightning storm as we perform. You better fall in a grave. Better ghoul your ass into the dance floor. There's more bodies to the moor. Gather outside the mausoleum door. Turn up the bass so we can get them more. Mosh pit shovel what you're fighting for. Thunder and lightning I was starting to pour. Dancing on graves cause we're rotten to the core. Finish on the creature dance on the boogeyman. Jumping like I'm dug in a hoop through a backboard. I tried to tango with a torso and I let go. The dance too slow, not funky enough. And bitch I came to boogie ho. Gotta get your two left feet and feel the beat so you can shake them cakes. To the boogeyman don't care less if they got one arm, no legs, I have a face. You feel the rain in the dark, you're bleeding, sweating. It's fine as two dead chicks and a shake of their hips emerge from the darkness starting to grind on ya. Whether alive or whether you're dead, when that boogeyman is cranking, it's easy to lose your head.
Give me my God. shit's the bomb and I'm fucked up, finna get my boogie on. Get a dance like I know I can, ain't nobody bragging shit. I know I'm sweet, and me and Emma when a week can't be, cause we dancing with magic ninja feet. To the vampire and the werewolf, to the boogeyman, cause we funky ride. Do this shit every day of our life, to the moon in the sky each and every night. Bring the boogeyman everywhere we go, every song in the studio, every video, every show, and you know that we go loco when we rap the dead, yo, and that's for show.
Patience is a virtue, and death is inevitable.